Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. It was all he ever talked about. And yet, you and I have not necessarily parsed out, figured out all that he means by bringing us the kingdom. And so we're looking at what Jesus meant with that sermon, the kingdom of God has come. Last week, we looked at the future aspect of the kingdom. When Jesus comes again and sets up his eternal reign, when Satan and sin and death are done away with forever. We learn that in this age, right now, until that happens, that the weeds will always grow among the wheat. Remember that the evil coexists alongside God's good until Jesus comes again. And so Jesus was preparing us to put up with evil all around us until that future kingdom comes. But that isn't the whole story, because Jesus is on the loose. That's how Eve Knapp greets Easter every year. She sends me a text about 5 a.m. on Easter, because I'm the only one up at 5 a.m. on Easter. And it says, Jesus is on the loose. Christ has risen. Jesus and his kingdom are on the loose. It's not just about a future reign, which is worth waiting for, but it's about Jesus' kingdom that's active and present now. Jesus came proclaiming, the kingdom of God has come near. He said, the time is fulfilled. The time is now. The kingdom of God has begun. And so he announced the commencement of the kingdom of God that was occurring in his presence. For now, through the rest of the month, there's going to be a lot of graduation ceremonies, and there will be commencement speeches. Isn't it interesting that after spending 4 years in high school or college or graduate school, that it's not called a graduation ceremony, it's called a commencement ceremony. It's not just what you have finished, but it's how all that education is preparing you to begin a new life. The kingdom has commenced, and a whole new life experience is made available to us through Jesus. So he came proclaiming the kingdom, but he didn't just talk about it. He demonstrated the kingdom. It was a real kingdom. A real kingdom that actually rescued people, that empowered them, that blessed them here and now. There's no place that Jesus' power is more visibly demonstrated, his kingdom more visibly demonstrated than in Jesus delivering people from the oppression of evil spirits. It's all through the Gospels. And when evil spirits would bother people, afflict them, oppress them, they would cause all kinds of difficulties. In this instance, it made a man blind and mute. In others, it caused frequent seizures or caused people to harm themselves or gave them uncontrollable superhuman strength or caused them to be bent over and stooped throughout all of life. Whatever it was, these demons were causing things that were involuntary, repetitive, long-term. Their goal was to torment, to distress, to distract, to exclude, to isolate, to cause fear, and to cause harm. You can tell that Jesus has come with kingdom authority, with the power to bring about a new kingdom, because the evil spirits could sense the shift in the power of the world when Jesus was present. That passage from Mark 1 that Cynthia read, the demons come to Jesus saying, what have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? We can tell that you are here. The Holy One of God is in our midst. They knew they were up against a new authority. There was a greater authority than their own. There was a new sheriff in town. And Jesus defined what he accomplished by casting out those demons as binding the strong man, as plundering his home. Jesus says, I have come and I've bested the bully. I am freeing those who are captive in this world. This era we live in is an in-between time. It's not yet the final kingdom, when Satan and sin and death are defeated, but it already is the reign of God on the loose, the power of the kingdom at work in our lives. So we can expect Jesus to change our world by offering us the chance to experience a new life and a new kingdom, to know a new king in charge of our lives, to experience a new allegiance being asked of us, and to know the rescue and empowerment and blessing of God's reign. We're not much interested in monarchies anymore, are we, unless it's a royal wedding or we're expecting the birth of a prince or princess. Then we're all about it. But otherwise, we prefer democracies, rule by people, because we've never known a queen or king who we could trust with absolute power over our lives. So we've chosen government by the people. We choose that constant tug of war between different interests over one person ruling over every one of us. But if there could be one good king, if there could be one good king whose sole purpose was kind and true governance of his people, and if the disposition of that king's heart would never change, if that good king could remain in power forever, if that good king could establish a just and peaceful reign for everyone, everywhere, and if that good king could lead us to our noblest and truest selves, we might consider trading our contentious self-rule for that kind of kingdom. That's just the kind of king Jesus is. He looks upon us, his subjects, with kindness, which is why he's come to establish his kingdom in the first place. He noticed our plight, and out of compassion, he's come to deliver us from the dominion of the devil. He's come to free us from a world of suicide bombers and date rape, a world of ethnic cleansings and corporate fraud, a world where super PACs shape the values of our nation. He's come to free us from redlining neighborhoods and schoolyard bullies. He's come to deliver the homeless who can't find a place to camp, as well as societies that allow homeless families to become homeless in the first place. Jesus, out of compassion, as a kind king, entered this beautiful and fragile and cruel world, and he's come challenging the oppressive reign of Satan. That's how Jesus describes the world. He's demonstrated that he has the authority to govern, to break the hold of Satan and what Satan holds over us, so he can lead us from that dominion into the reign of the Son of God. And only a king who's greater than the current tyrant in power can do that. Jesus is just that kind of king. He said that he's entered the strong man's house. He's bound him, and now he's plundering all the souls and life stories that Satan has held captive there. He's setting prisoners free. He's inviting the citizens of this present darkness to live under the light of his reign. And yet this is just a transitional government. Satan's kingdom still exists and continues to claim authority over people's lives. But Jesus has come, and he offers us the rescue and the power and the blessing of his reign in our lives right now. So what does it mean that we live under the reign of the kingdom of God? What difference does it make to have Jesus as our sovereign rather than Satan? Take any situation in your life that makes you feel captive to the way the world currently is, and you'll see. You'll see the difference of having Jesus' kingdom ruling over you. Take any circumstance in which you feel you have no choice. Take any situation in which you feel your destiny or the outcome of that has already been decided, and you'll understand the kingdom of this world. That description, no choice and our outcomes already decided, seems to describe just about every struggle we experience. Every struggle to get free of pornography, every entanglement with alcohol or drugs, Every impulse to spend beyond what we can afford to comfort the ache inside. Every inability to eat well rather than eat compulsively. These are all ways in which we're held captive. Indications that we're stuck in Satan's dungeons, as it were. That we're governed by something bigger than ourselves. Every fear that makes our hearts race with anxiety is evidence that we're under this dominion. Fear that we won't have enough. So we live afraid of the water heater breaking, or the car not starting, or being prescribed a drug we can't afford. So we live each day holding our breath, captive to the fear of what might come our way that we can't manage or control. So we become prisoners to a reign of fear. Fear that we aren't enough to get the job we really want, so we should just stay put and deal with the boredom of the job we already have day in, day out, until we finally retire. Fear that no one would love us, so we shouldn't hope to find someone, nor open ourselves to the opportunity to meet someone. Instead, our fears make us accept loneliness as the chains of our existence. These are signs of the present kingdom we live in. Or the shameful stories of our lives that hold us captive. We know what we've done. We don't need anybody to remind us. We know these dark chapters in our stories have permanently disqualified us from the opportunities of life that come only to the innocent. Or at least that's what we think. We've made this bed of shame, and so we must remain in it. The fact that we feel we have no choice, or that our future is determined for us, these define the dominion of Satan, his reign in this present darkness. And this is what Jesus has come to set us free from. This is what Jesus meant in his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, when he proclaimed the kingdom of God and said he had come to set captives free. He's not just talking about releasing prisoners from dungeons, but releasing all who are imprisoned by the dominion of the devil. So take your captive situation and ask yourself, what if I look to the kingdom of God to reign in me instead? Those situations where you feel like you don't have a choice or the outcome is already certain, what if you allow Jesus to be your sovereign, your king, here and now? How might his kind and powerful rule change your story? Allowing Jesus to be your king means that you can take those captive situations and know that you are given choice again, and that a new future has been made possible for you because Jesus is plundering Satan's household and leading us free. He gives us the ability to choose again, to first of all choose him to be our good and gracious king. So we're not stuck anymore in our lives. We're not left with only one option. We can choose the kingdom of God. We can let Jesus shatter the control that Satan's realm has held over us. And we can choose good rather than repeat the things that harm us. When we are captive to the dominion of this age, it felt like we had no choices. We felt trapped in cycles of sin or despair or self-destruction. And if we manage to conquer those battles, even for a while, they often seem to come back stronger than ever. But that power that has held us captive to these old destructive choices, that's been shattered by Jesus. He's bound the strong man. He's led us forth from the dungeons. And he's given us the freedom to choose good, the good that he offers us in his new kingdom. Jesus has also made possible futures for us that are made possible by his redeeming power. Nothing is predetermined anymore. We're no longer captive. All are invited to come and see what Jesus, our King, might do for us here and now. So if you come under the realm of God's reign, your future opens up for you. You begin to dream and imagine futures made possible by the grace of God. Futures that were impossible before. Futures you could certainly have never made happen on your own. Futures that give us a glimpse of God's kingdom to come. So imagine with me for a moment as we conclude. this good and kind King Jesus ruling over your life. Think for a moment as you maybe even just close your eyes. Where do you feel captive right now? What is a circumstance that has left you feeling as if you have no choice? What's a situation where the outcome seems out of your control and it's headed a direction you don't want? And what would you like this kind and good King to change about your life? Imagine choosing Jesus and this kingdom that he promises. What would you ask this Jesus to do for you? What choices, what futures would you ask him to make possible for you again? Ask him to reign in your heart right now and to make that possible. Lord, we are still part of this world, but your kingdom has come, and it is shaking the foundations of this present age because God is among us and because you offer us this new life, this new reign that never would have been accessible to us before. So help us to yearn and desire and to hunger for this kingdom. Hear us now as we pray the prayer you gave us, a prayer for this time, this kingdom, and the kingdom to come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.